By the late 1960s, stabilization did not have a very good name because of the many failures. But an urgent problem arose. There were many kilometres of local government roads in Sydney's west that needed rehabilitation. The first council to consider stabilising their roads was Bankstown. Paul Ritchie, who had just joined the council, recalls the condition of Bankstown's roads at that time.
The sealed roads weren't too bad, but they had a lot of unsealed road shoulders with no curb and gutter, and they were spending a lot of money on grading of those road shoulders to remove the drop-offs at the edge of the seals, because that was a fully urbanised area. Then they had some other areas which had been developed largely by the Housing Commission, plus some of their own roads, that had been developed in about the 50s. Most of the road pavements running 150 to 200 deep. A lot of them constructed of material that these days we would only put, if that, in the sub-base, let alone in the base. And so they were failing. They were also failing. So they had two problems. They had a lot of road shoulders that they wanted to build to give the residents full-width roads and curb and gutted, but they had a group of other roads that were prematurely failing because of the traffic increases in those days and the very light construction which they'd been built and quality that they'd been built to.
Was there much doubt about the effectiveness of stabilisation in those days? Because it hadn't really been used on a wide scale before Bankstown Council. How did the council feel about it themselves?
There was a great deal of cynicism and doubt in everybody's mind that it would work. I can remember the deputy engineer there, and the chief engineer at Bankstown, not believing in it. They were quite cynical that the process would work. But they thought, we've got to give it a go because we're not getting anywhere at fulfilling the residents' needs in terms of the condition of the sealed roads and the condition of the road shoulders. I was a bit cynical of the whole process too, although I wasn't very experienced. I was only in my mid-20s, but I'd learned a bit in my course about stabilisation and I'd learned about design of road pavements, and I thought what they were doing wouldn't work because you know the theory from your course, but you don't know the practical. So that was a very great learning experience, which probably didn't recognise initially myself where it was heading, but in retrospect it was great.
So Bankstown became the first Sydney council to start a full stabilisation program.
The initial approach, which was quite right, was a testing program using different depths for the stabilisation, whether that be on the recycled pavement or the road shoulders. There was various depths used. And also in combination with the depth, various percentages of usually cement. There was a little bit of lime used as well, but mostly cement. But again, various percentages. And in those days, it was used percentage by volume, where today it's percentage by weight. That was the way it was done. And again, those trials were done with laboratory tests to get the unconfined compressive strengths. I think this was really a groundbreaking area that Bankstown went into. And they actually proved in those trials and in the tests that it worked, and it was a very economical process.
Now, once the council had worked out how to do it with the tests, how did they actually go about stabilising the roads of Bankstown?
They'd always do the tests on they'd pick road shoulders or roads that they think needed it. Then you'd go out, and if it was a sealed road, you'd bank them and beam it to ascertain how bad it was in terms of its deflection. In terms of road shoulders, initially you just dug a hole by hand, but eventually they got a coring machine on the back of a truck to take a core, which told you the amount of granular material, usually shale, that was on the shoulder. And you also did in-situ CBR tests as well to ascertain how poor the clay was underneath.
Tom Wilmot is a director of Stabilised Pavements of Australia. During the 1970s, he worked for Bankstown Council's contractors, Stabilex Proprietary Limited.
A council would say we want the section done from house number 1 to house number 32. We would arrive on site and we would shape the road to correct any irregularities in the existing roadway, spread the cement, mix it with the P&H stabiliser attached to a water cart, so we would be injecting water at the same time. The resultant blend would be a relatively dry mix of the existing roadway, the cement and the water. We would then compact that immediately and try and complete our compaction within an hour to 2 hours at the most, and then give the road a final shape with the grader.
Then they cured it, they kept it watered for about 3 days, and in that time you tried quickly to get the seal on. Most of those seals in those days that were put on were a 2-coat hot bitumen seal. That was the process, and that process really applied to whether you were talking about recycling of sealed road pavements or stabilisation of the road shoulders.
Was it all in situ stabilisation?
Yes, it was all in situ. It was all recycling of existing sealed pavements. I can't recall any unsealed road being done. I can't recall any. The main problem there was getting the existing sealed roads into shape because they were in such atrocious condition.
Did stabilisation expand after that time into other areas? What happened to it?
It was expanding all the time at that stage. Certainly during the 80s, it expanded very quickly. I certainly know that Warringah Council, Rockdale, certainly Brisbane Council took it up, I think, in the 80s. And by the 90s, we're doing 1 million square metres of recycling by stabilisation. They were doing huge quantities. They had their own manual written out on stabilisation. So they were, to my knowledge, and still are, the biggest council in Australia which does stabilisation or recycling of road pavements by stabilisation. I think we can all thank Bankstown a great deal for what they did in the 60s. Without that groundbreaking work of trialling and testing, I don't think it would have gone anywhere unless somebody, I suppose I can't say that, somebody else would have picked it up eventually and tried it and pushed it and experimented with it. And I'd imagine surely other organisations throughout Australia, whether it be Brisbane City Council or main road organisations, must have learned from all of that. I know the stabilising companies themselves learned a great deal from the whole process. So it wasn't just the councils. The operators and the managers of those companies, of Stabilex and the others, learned a huge amount from those trials and experiments that were done at Bankstown.